This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. If you're looking for some bad advice, look no further than satirist Al Franken's new book, Oh, the Things I Know, A Guide to Success, or failing that, Happiness. It's a spoof of cradle-to-grave advice books. Franken was one of the original members of the Saturday Night Live writing team and worked as a writer and cast member on and off until 1985. His book, I'm Good Enough, I'm Smart Enough, and Doggone It, People Like Me, was written in the voice of his Saturday Night Live character, Stuart Smalley, and spoofed the recovery movement. His bestseller, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot and Other Observations, satirized conservative pundits and politicians. In the book, Why Not Me?, Franken satirized presidential campaigns. He's done political humor for the Comedy Channel and Politically Incorrect, and has performed at White House correspondence dinners. He's also a popular after-dinner speaker. Have you been traveling around a lot giving speeches since September 11th? I mean, have you been on the road much?
I have. I do especially a lot of corporate speaking, believe it or not. I'm a fairly well-known Democrat. I've been on your show when I did the book, Rush Limbaugh's Big Fat Idiot. But I speak to a lot of corporations, which are usually two-thirds, three-quarter Republican. But what I've discovered is that the Democrats can't afford me. So I speak to these, and I tell them that, and then they laugh, and they feel good about themselves because they feel rich. And then I make fun of them, and they laugh, and they pay me. So I've been speaking since 9/11, and the first 6 weeks was, first of all, a lot of people canceled conferences. People were afraid to travel, and they just didn't feel it was a good idea. And then I started doing them where people from the organizers would say, can you do your what you'd normally talk about and politics and stuff, but can you not mention 9/11? And I go like, you better just get like a really funny juggler or something because I can't not talk about it. And they went, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. And you can talk about, the first thing I was able to talk about was Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. Jerry Falwell on September 13th was on the 700 Club and blamed 9/11 on various Americans, including gays and lesbians and people who want to secularize, the country. And Pat Robertson said, I concur. And I remember Falwell said that he had been quoted out of context. And I found the quote, and the only way he could have been quoted out of context is if it had been preceded with, I'd have to be a nut to say. And so he gave comedians, or at least me, something to talk about. And I found that people, just Americans, want to laugh, and they want to first thing I did was I went on a USO tour.
Did you really?
October.
I mean, did you really go on a because there's a parody of that in your book.
No, that's true. I know it's hard to separate what's true, but I did go on a USO tour, yeah. I've done three of them, and this is my third year in a row. And in October, immediately after we started our action in Afghanistan, I went to Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, and I went to Italy and Kosovo and Bosnia.
To me, USO tours are still like Bob Hope with a lot of, very attractive women.
Thank you.
Right?
Oh, women. Oh, yes. Yes. Well,
so,
there's women in the military
now. What's a USO tour
now.
Like now?
It's sort of that idea, but very scaled down. It isn't... In every time I've gone, there have been... I've gone twice with Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and once with New England Patriot cheerleaders. This last one was with New England Patriot cheerleaders. So there's a little cheesecake for the guys. And then usually there's music, and a lot of, they like country music. We had, Clint Black this time. And I've gone with Carole King, and I've gone with Jewel, and Ruth Pointer. It's a lot of fun. The audiences are great. They really, appreciate the fact that you've come to Kosovo to to do your show. And they have a very dark sense of humor, actually. When I was in Kosovo, I cleared this joke with the commander. I said to him, can I tell this joke? And, then I told him, he said, sure. And this was the joke. I said, you know, we were back in the United States very worried about you guys when we were fighting here in Kosovo. And Americans just did not want to take any casualties. And because of that, I know you're very circumscribed, but fortunately there were no casualties here. But you'll be happy to know, since 9/11, Americans are now willing to take casualties here in Kosovo. And and they just thought that was hysterical. So they, and you know, where else can you kind of tell a joke about, you know, we don't mind if you get killed. Ha ha ha, you know. So you can't tell that at a corporate event.
I want you to read an excerpt from the USO tour that you describe in your new parody of advice books. And tell me if these are jokes that you've actually told or not. Why don't you do them first, and then you could tell us.
Okay, let me find them. Okay, yeah, these are jokes I did tell. So I this is on in a chapter on, the giving back to your community you ought to be doing instead of reading this. And so I talk about, you know, you do what you can do. So this was me in on the USO tour. There's a couple of the jokes I told. I got to tell you, I just say I got to tell you because that's how Bob Hope used to start his jokes. I got to tell you, everybody's caught up in this patriotic fervor, even the people I wouldn't expect. After September 11th, an old friend of mine went right to his closet, got out his old America T-shirt. Of course, it took him 4 hours to white out sucks. They like that in Bosnia. Okay. But everyone wants to do their part. My same friend told me he's going to stop buying heroin, hit the Taliban in the pocketbook. You know, these are very, you know, these are very, very sincere, sweet kids, but they have dark sensibilities.
So you've told us some of the jokes that have gone over well. Were there jokes where you said to a commander, can I get away with saying this? And he said, absolutely not over my dead body.
I had with me the New England Patriot cheerleaders, just three of them. And the one thing they told me I couldn't do was like the wing commander of the Air Force in Europe, which was I wanted to get burkas for the cheerleaders. and say that the Taliban cheerleaders are with us, and they were going to, so, and so I was going to have them come out, and they were really up for this, and so I was going to have the three women come out and talk to them in their burkas, and then have them kind of whisper to me and saying like, you know, what they're not allowed to like dance. And have everyone go boo, boo, and then and point out to them that they're now no longer in Afghanistan. They could, and then they were going to do a routine in the burkas, like everybody dance now, which I think would have been hilarious. So we get to Ramstein, and like I was on the plane on the way over, talking to the, you know, military attaché, saying we need burkas, get me three burkas. And we get there, and like the wing commander has gotten whiff of this and said, and he just said, you know, we're trying to send out the message that we're not fighting Islam, that we're just, you know, we're fighting terrorism. And we think that maybe this might be a bad idea. And I kind of, you know, I couldn't like go like, no. It's funny, damn it. You know, and so we ended up not doing it. And I think it would have been fine. It would have been fine. Everyone would have enjoyed it. But, you know, I didn't want to cause an international incident with a joke.
Well, but there is a kind of Taliban and the women joke that you did tell on your USO tour.
Oh, yeah. Let me find that. No, I know that joke. It's that the Taliban and our military, very, very different militaries. One thing in common, though, neither we nor the Taliban allow our women in combat. The Taliban take it one step further, however. They don't allow their women to go outside or to look up or to hum.
Now, when you were growing up watching Bob Hope during the USO tours, and when you were in college during the war in Vietnam, did you ever think that you would be on a USO tour yourself?
No, I mean, in fact, you know, you said that it was there any joke they didn't like? And that joke I told about the American flag T-shirt, my friend who got it out, but he had to spend 4 hours whiting out sucks. The one time they didn't like that joke, I told it first at Ramstein, which was the first place I did. I said, I got out my American flag T-shirt, and it took me 4 hours to white out sucks. They didn't like that. Because the difference in that joke was that it was me saying that at one point I had a T-shirt that said America sucks. So, I had not imagined watching Bob Hope during the Vietnam War that I would be doing that kind of thing.
But that's interesting that you figured exactly how to fix it and still make it work.
Yes, I just blamed it on somebody else.
Exactly.
That's how you fix a lot of things in life, Terry.
I've learned my lesson. Thank you for that advice.
Yes.
That's what makes your book so good, that wonderful advice.
Yes. Well, I think that, I was thinking about talking to you about this book, and I tried to figure out how to deconstruct what I'm doing in the book. And I've thought of an example.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever done this before, and you've probably never had a humorist do this, but I want to try this. This is it's a small thing. It's about parenting, and it's in a chapter, "Oh, the violent television your children will watch." And it's in the chapter summary, actually. Let me read from it, and then I'll explain what I think I'm doing in the book. I say, oh, and another thing. You and your spouse have to present a united front. Resolve any differences in philosophy away from your children. If, for example, one parent is prejudiced against certain minorities, you will have to decide as a couple whether to both tell racist jokes in front of them or to avoid racist jokes altogether. And remember, there are no right answers. Now, to me, and I'll never do this again, but I'm trying to deconstruct what I was doing here. I think this is what I do in the book a lot, which I tell good advice, which is parents should resolve differences away from the kids, and then present a united front, and then I'm just coupling it with a very ugly, unfortunate reality that exists. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
My guest is satirist Al Franken. His new book, Spoofing Advice Books, is called Oh, the Things I Know. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Al Franken is my guest, and his new book is called Oh, the Things I Know, A Guide to Success or Failing That, Happiness. Now, getting back to political humor, the kind of thing you were doing on your USO tours, has it become more difficult to make jokes about President Bush since September 11th? Because you don't hear a lot of comics mocking Bushisms or, you know, mocking his intelligence, which you heard a lot of before September 11th.
Yeah, although we may be getting back to a little bit. You wanted to fall, you know, close ranks behind the president when the country's attacked.
Did you want to do that? I mean, let's remind our listeners, you did some writing for Al Gore during his presidential campaign. I mean, you're very much a Democrat. Did you feel that you wanted to get behind the president after the 11th and put a moratorium, at least a temporary one?
I wanted, certainly, on foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
President Clinton said immediately after 9/11, we have to get behind the president and do whatever he wants to do. And I agreed with that. I did. And I agreed with the policy in Afghanistan. Now, I said right immediately after 9/11 or not. But like starting 6 weeks afterwards, I started talking about, you know, the president's language is not his strong point. For example, evildoers. Just not a great word. And you notice that, like, members of the administration started using evildoers. You know, like, they felt like they had to make it sound like it's, like, a word. Like, Cheney, it was very interesting to watch him. He'd say something like, this war is not about fighting Islam. It's about eradicating the evildoers. So it was that was the kind of tack I could take as a comedian, was mm-hmm. about, you know, some of the president's weaknesses.
Al Franken, I have it through one of my sources that you have a funny Gene Simmons story. And for our listeners who missed this, Gene Simmons of the heavy metal band
Kiss, he was on your show,
was a guest on our show, and it was quite a to-do. He hurled around many insults toward me in particular and public radio in general. Entertain us with your Gene Simmons story.
Okay, here's my Gene Simmons story. It was 1982, and I was playing, at the time I was playing racquetball a lot, and I was at this racquetball club in Midtown Manhattan, and I played a weekly game with a guy. And my partner was late, so I'm hitting the ball around by myself in the court, and it has a glass wall, the back wall, and I hear this knock on the door, and it's Gene Simmons. I didn't know, actually, it was Gene Simmons till later. But he knocks on the door and he said, I play with you? And I said, well, I'm waiting for some. Sure, why don't you come in? He said, I'll kick your ass. So I said, oh, okay, well, fine. And I said, well, look, you want to warm up? He goes, no, I'll kick your ass. And then I said, well, go ahead, you serve. And he hit, now he's very big, Gene. He's like 6'2", 6'3". Big, big guy.
And that's without the platform shoes.
Yes. And he serves, and he hits the ball harder than I've ever seen anyone hit the ball before. And I've played with, like, you know, really, really good players. And so the first point, you know, just goes past me, and I, you know, whiff on it. And so he gets the point, he says, I kick your ass. And so I said, well, okay. And then he does it again. I missed the second one, and he says, I hit 2-0. Then I figure out what he, you know, I catch up to how hard he's hitting, and I beat him like 15-3 or 15-4. So, and by then, my partner has come, and Simmons says to me, we play again. And I said, well, no, my partner's here, and I'm going to play with him. He said, I kick your ass. And I said, well, no, my friend's here, I'm going to play with him. And he goes, bawk, 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 bawk. And he's taunting me. And I say, okay, we'll play this game for $500. And he just turns around and leaves. And my partner says, that was Gene Simmons. And that's my Gene Simmons story. He was the most awful person I'd ever met. Yeah.
You see, I asked you to tell it because wherever I go, people just want to ask me about, you know, Gene Simmons' appearance on Fresh Air. So I figured it's time to ask somebody else about Gene Simmons.
I just want, Terry, I just want you to stop beating yourself up and feeling that whole interview is your fault.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
I wouldn't go that far, but but no, I know that you felt terrible, that maybe there was something you could have done to make Gene more gentlemanly. And don't lose any more sleep over that.
Which reminds me, thanks for the advice, Al. Which reminds me, now that you've written your advice book, what's some of the worst advice you've ever been given?
Some of the worst advice I've been given, it doesn't sort of sound like terrible advice. And maybe it's the way I've internalized the advice. Always stand up for your principles is probably good advice. The way I've internalized it is burn your bridges. So I think that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's you. In the book, I say that you're going to receive bad advice throughout your life, and even from people you respect. So a big, important part of my book, in fact, in the book, I deliberately tell the reader that throughout the book, I give some bad advice to keep you on your toes. And my point is that you have to sort of take and leave advice as you get it. And however, I do remind the readers that the law is not advice. That you can't take or leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Al Franken, so much fun to have you on the show. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Terry. And I could do this forever.
Al Franken's new book is called Oh, the Things I Know, A Guide to Success, or Failing That, Happiness. It's a satirical version of advice books. Here's the introduction. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
This is called, It's to the Reader. I've never met you. I don't know much about you. But I do know you have unlimited potential. You can do anything you really set your mind to and be anything you really want to be. What a crock, huh? Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Your life is going to have a lot of ups and downs. Some of you who read this will have miserable lives and be disappointments to your parents, your children, your spouse, and to yourself, and to some extent to me. Because after all, you've read this book, or at least this part of it, and still made a mess of things. But I'm not here to add to your burden. No, I'm here to lighten it. With wisdom, with humor, and with a firm belief that no one piece of advice works for everyone.